They escaped, and Lucy said with relief, "We just got through that time." But her mother was annoyed. "I cannot see why you didn't tell your friends about Cecil and be done with it. There, all the time, we had to sit fencing and almost telling lies, and be seen through, too, I dare say, which is most unpleasant." Lucy described the Miss Allen's character. They were such gossips, and if one told them, the news would be everywhere in no time. "But why shouldn't it be everywhere in no time?" "Because I settled with Cecil not to announce it until I left England. I shall tell them then. Oh, how wet it is. Let's go to Mudie's. I'll buy a guidebook." "You know, Lucy, I shall never understand this hole and corner work. You've got rid of Cecil. Well and good, and I'm thankful he's gone, though I did feel angry for the minute. But why not announce it? It's only for a few days." "But why at all?" Lucy was silent. She was drifting away from her mother. It was quite easy to say, "Because George Emerson has been bothering me, and if he hears I've given up Cecil, may begin again." Quite easy, and it had the incidental advantage of being true. But she could not say it. She disliked confidences, for they might lead to self-knowledge. Ever since that last evening at Florence, she had deemed it unwise to reveal her soul. Mrs. Honeychurch, too, was silent. She was thinking, "My daughter won't answer me. She would rather be with those inquisitive old maids than with Freddy and me." And as, in her case, thoughts never remained unspoken long, she burst out with, "You're tired of Windy Corner." This was perfectly true. Lucy had hoped to return to Windy Corner when she escaped from Cecil, but she discovered that her home existed no longer. It might exist for Freddy, who still lived and thought straight, but not for one who had deliberately warped the brain. She only felt, "I do not love George. I broke off my engagement because I did not love George. I must go to Greece because I do not love George." She only felt irritable and petulant and anxious to do what she was not expected to do, and in this spirit she proceeded with the conversation. "Oh, Mother, what rubbish you talk! Of course I'm not tired of Windy Corner." "Then why not say so at once, instead of considering half an hour?" She laughed faintly. "Half a minute would be nearer." "Perhaps you would like to stay away from your home altogether." "Hush, Mother! People will hear you." For they had entered Mudie's. She bought Baedeker, and then continued, "Of course I want to live at home. But as we are talking about it, I may as well say that I shall want to be away in the future more than I have been. You see, I come into my money next year." Tears came into her mother's eyes. Lucy determined to make this point clear. "I've seen the world so little. I felt so out of things in Italy. One ought to come up to London more. I might even share a flat for a little with some other girl." "And mess with typewriters and latchkeys," exploded Mrs. Honeychurch, "and agitate and scream and be carried off kicking by the police, and call it duty, when it means that you can't stand your own home, and then to prepare yourself, find two doddering old ladies and go abroad with them." "I want more independence," said Lucy lamely. She knew that she wanted something, and independence is a useful cry. We can always say that we have not got it. "Very well, take your independence and be gone. Despise the house that your father built and the garden that he planted and our dear view, and then share a flat with another girl." Lucy screwed up her mouth and said, "Perhaps I spoke hastily."
"Oh, goodness," her mother flashed. "How you do remind me of Charlotte Bartlett."
"Charlotte!" flashed Lucy in her turn, pierced at last by a vivid pain.
"More every moment."
"I don't know what you mean, Mother. Charlotte and I are not the very least alike."
"Well, I see the likeness. The same eternal worrying, the same taking back of words. You and Charlotte trying to divide two apples among three people last night might be sisters."
"What rubbish! And if you dislike Charlotte so, it's rather a pity you asked her to stop.
I warned you about her. I begged you, implored you not to, but of course it was not listened to. There you go.
I beg your pardon?
Charlotte, again, my dear. That's all. Her very words.
Lucy clenched her teeth.
My point is that you oughtn't to have asked Charlotte to stop. I wish you would keep to the point.
And the conversation died off into a wrangle.